Today, I want to talk about impossible situations or what seem to be impossible situations and how God can use those impossible situations for solutions to the world problems around us. There's a lot of problems in the world, right? But how many of you know that God wants to use you and me to speak into those challenges, those problems, and be solutions and bring good news into that? And so today we're going to talk a little bit about how God uses us to do amazing things. The Bible says that we are reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says we are reconciled to God. We're made right with God so that we can be reconcilers. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, it says, we are Christ's ambassadors. And God is making his appeal through us. Have you ever thought about that? That God brings you into his family, brings you to himself through Christ Jesus so that he can make an appeal through you or through us into the world. The Bible says we're like ambassadors. We're here to speak on God's behalf. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about how God can speak into our life, change our life, and then begin to use us in a powerful, powerful way. And what I want to look at today is the story of a lady named Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is in the Christmas story, Luke chapter 1, if you want to go ahead and turn your Bible there. But Elizabeth is the mother of a man named John, who later on became the spokesperson that the Messiah or that Jesus was on the scene. John was the forerunner of Jesus. Elizabeth was John's mother, and him and Jesus were born around the same time. And I know that we're here, and during the Christmas season, we celebrate the birth of Christ and what that means about God becoming flesh and being born into the world. But today I want to talk about after, you know, he does that he wants to use you and me in a powerful way. And we can look at this story of Elizabeth today and learn how God can use us and take impossible situations and begin to do amazing things in and through us. If you got your Bibles, we'll begin in Luke chapter 1 today with verse 11. And the Bible says this. It says, while Zechariah, who was Elizabeth's husband, was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and he was overwhelmed with fear when he saw the angel. But the angel said, Zechariah, don't be afraid. God has heard your prayer, and your wife, Elizabeth, will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. Then Zechariah leaves the sanctuary. He goes home to Elizabeth, and the Bible says this, we pick up in verse 23 of Luke chapter 1. It says, when Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he did return home. Soon afterward, his wife Elizabeth, she became pregnant, and she went into seclusion for 5 months. The Bible says that she says in verse 25, how kind the Lord is, she exclaimed. He has taken away my disgrace of having no children. And I want to stop right there because it's really important for us to understand that Elizabeth and Zechariah were past the childbearing years. They were up in age. Now, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a young teenage girl, but Elizabeth is a very old lady. She's past the childbearing years. She had yet to have a child. But here she says, now I'm pregnant in my old age and God has taken away the disgrace of having no children. In this particular culture, in this particular time, if you had gone through a long journey as a lady in a marriage and you had not had children, it would have been a disgrace to you. In other words, most people in the society would have thought something was wrong with you or that you had done something wrong to not be able to be blessed by God to have children. And so this lady says, now I'm pregnant in my old age. God has taken away my disgrace. And the Bible goes on to say in Luke chapter 1, verses 36 and 37, Elizabeth, has become pregnant in her old age, and people used to say that she was barren, but she's now in her 6th month, and she says that nothing is impossible with God. Today, I want to speak on behalf of people thinking that it's impossible for God to use them because of something that has happened in their life, something in their past. And I want to speak to you today because, you know what? No matter what has happened in your past, it doesn't determine your future with God. And so many people begin to think a lot like Elizabeth or the people around Elizabeth that because maybe they're past a certain period or they've done something in their past, that it's impossible for God to do things in them and through them. And so we've got to learn, if we're going to see God use us as ambassadors or use us to do amazing things and do impossible things through us, we've got to learn to believe the voice of God over what has happened in the past. Again, Elizabeth was a lady who had reached an old age. And most people in the society, most people in the town around her would have been laughing at her. Like, what did you do wrong to not be able to have children in such an old age? Most people would have been talking about her. She would have probably, in most situations, felt very, very down about herself. But here, you know, God speaks into her life, her situation, gives her a baby who's the forerunner of Jesus, or announces that Jesus is on the scene, this John. And what's amazing about this is she says that God has taken away my disgrace. Now I'm able to have a children. In other words, she believed that God could do the impossible over what the current circumstances or the current culture was saying about her. And many of us in this room today feel like God can't step in today and do anything with us because of what has happened in the past and what people are saying. But I want to encourage you today to believe God in the circumstances in spite of what has gone on in the past. Because God can step into any situation. God can heal any person. God can begin to do the impossible. But what we have to do is first and foremost believe that God can. And again, a lot of times people will say, God can't use you because this has happened or that has happened. But we have to believe that God can. God is in the transformation business. And God is into finishing what he starts. God doesn't only save you, but God also calls you. And I need everybody to grab hold of that. God salvages us from our sin and he calls us in to kingdom purpose. He calls us in to doing things great for his name's sake. He calls us into bringing glory to his name in spite of what our past looks like. And again, so many people are paralyzed because of their past because someone said that God can't use you. And their thinking is God can't step into that situation like he stepped into Elizabeth's situation and begin to do supernatural things. But God is into doing supernatural things. I think of my own life and my own story. You know, God saved my soul at the age of about 32. And whenever I put my faith and belief in the finished work of Jesus Christ, God began to call me into, I guess we would call vocational or full-time ministry. I didn't really understand all of that, but I ended up at that particular time, my wife and I had a little small business. We ended up selling that small business, and we decided that we would go to seminary in order to begin to learn a little bit about what ministry was about and, you know, learn a little bit about God's word, the Bible, and all of these kind of things. So we said, well, we'll go visit seminaries. In case you don't know what seminary is, it's just basically Sunday school on steroids, okay? It's actually a graduate school. It's a Bible school, and so we were like, well, where will we go to seminary? Well, let's go look for seminaries. And so we had sold our business. We got on an airplane. We flew to a certain seminary, and we were going to check out a few. But as we entered into this seminary, they called us into a meeting where student or prospective students would come into this meeting with these professors, and they would talk to you a little bit about the seminary and the calling on your life. And the particular leader at that seminary, he sit down at this luncheon, and there were, I guess 50 to 100, student prospects in there, and we were in there among those students. And the professor began to list off all of these things about my past. And he says, if you've done this, 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 or this, then God probably hasn't called you into ministry. God has, you probably ate some bad pizza. And honestly, at that particular time, that's what I began to feel. Though God had supernaturally saved me, God had began to put a calling on my life and begin to head in that direction. When this guy sat down and began to say, because certain things had happened in my life, that God couldn't use me, that's the voice I began to believe. And then we left that meeting, we went and sit on the doorsteps of that particular institute's library. And as we sit there, an older gentleman and his wife passed by, and I guess I looked a little bit distraught, and Kim and I were having discussion, and this man came by and spoke into my life. And he basically said, if God called you to ministry, then God's gonna prepare you and equip you to do what he's called you to do. And from that point, I began to go and begin to research the scriptures and begin to look how God had taken lots of people throughout the Bible that had a past that did this, 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 and this, the things that that guy listed. And God come into their life, turn their life around, and then begin to use them in a powerful way to do what people would say is impossible. And again, yes, there is qualifications for ministry, but what I need to communicate to you today, when I say qualifications for vocational ministry, the Bible gives what church leadership should look like and a clear picture of that. But what I need everybody in this room to hear today is if God saves you from your sin, no matter what your past is, God can take you, he can come into your life, he can transform your life, and he can use your life to bring glory to his name and bring this good news of Jesus to this world. And no matter what your past is, my friend, because I've had people come to me in ministry, I've been doing this now for about 20 years, and I have people come to me and say, because I have this particular thing going on in my life, or I've done this particular thing. Oftentimes, because I've gotten a divorce, God can't use me. Because I stepped out on somebody, God can't use me. I've even had people come to me and say, because I've killed a person, God can't use me. And what I need to say to you today is God can take anybody in this particular place, and he can use you for his name's sake if you will believe him for your future and stop trusting what you did in the past. God is not about, he's not about penalizing you for your past. He's about building you for your future. And what we need to understand is God can build off of our past, but he is not holding our past against us. God can take the things that you've experienced in life. He can save you from those things. And as he calls you out of those things, he can take and he can use those things that the enemy meant for harm, and God can begin to use them for good. And God can begin to speak into your life. He can begin to build your life. He can use your life in a powerful, powerful way. May nobody ever say because you were barren and you wasn't able to have kids, then they laugh at you and say, God can't use you, Elizabeth, or no matter what your circumstances are, I need you to know today, you've got to learn to believe that God can use you. The Bible says that God pours out his spirit in these last days on men and women alike because he wants to use us to do amazing and powerful things. But you've got to trust that God wants to use you. You've got to submit to his authority, begin to let him speak into you, and he will coach you to greatness. Don't penalize yourself because of your past. Believe God for your future. Elizabeth didn't let what everybody else around her was saying about her or what her culture was saying about being barren keep her from being used by God. And she said, you know what? God is gracious and God has removed my disgrace. And she says, for nothing is impossible with God. The next thing I wrote down about positioning ourselves for God to use us in a powerful way is I wrote it down this way. We have to learn not only to position ourselves for God to use, but we have to also learn to celebrate that God is using others. We have to learn to celebrate that God is using others. Look what the Bible says. Luke chapter 1, as we continue this story about Elizabeth. The Bible says a few days later that actually, Mary, the mother of Jesus, she found out that she was also pregnant and with child. The Bible says she hurried to the hill country of Judea to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and she greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, the Bible says Elizabeth's child leaped within her and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 42 says, Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you, Mary, above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored, she says, that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb, she says, jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed in the Lord and he would do what he says. And so, again, the question for all of us is, what leaps inside of us whenever God blesses somebody else? When God gives somebody else a blessing or a purpose, or God saves somebody and they begin to step into their calling and their assignment, what leaps inside of us? And what I mean by that is, you know, Elizabeth, she had been blessed by God and she was gonna give birth to baby John, who was gonna be the forerunner or the announcer that the Christ was on the scene. But God blessed Mary to be the mother of Jesus. And here Elizabeth is celebrating and giving honor to Mary about being the mother of Jesus, where I can envision Elizabeth being the older lady saying to Mary, the young teenage girl, well, you know, you didn't deserve to be the mother of the Lord Jesus. I had to be the mother of the forerunner of Jesus. I'm older in age, and so maybe I should have got the blessing you got, and you should have got the blessing I got. And she began to compare the different blessings, but that's not what Elizabeth does at all. But I wonder how often, you know what, we don't see God do the impossible through us because we're too busy looking at the blessing that God has bestowed on someone else, and we're trying to say, well, why didn't God give me that blessing? And what I want to say to you today, be like Elizabeth. See the blessing you have. Because we've all been blessed by God in some form or some fashion if we've trusted Christ as our Savior. Because my Bible says that God gifts you and bestows on you his spirit and his amazing blessing to do great things. But if we're always too busy comparing our gift to somebody else's gift, our blessing to somebody else's blessing, we're gonna miss what God wants to do through us. And so we gotta learn to celebrate other people's gifts. We gotta learn to celebrate what God's doing through us. And this is why, you know, I stand on this platform and I don't just talk about, you know, certain gifts or certain aspects of ministry that we do as a church, because this is a us mentality church. This is a we mentality, church. It's us doing it together. It's all the gifts coming alive. It's us bringing every gift is equally as important, putting those gifts to work, challenging people to step into their God destiny, celebrating with you how God's gifted you in a special way, putting you in the right spot so together we can change the world. My friend, if we're gonna change the world and be an ambassador for Christ, we have to learn to celebrate others around us. Not be jealous of the gifts around us. Happens at Christmas time all the time, doesn't it? Yeah, anybody have a bunch of kids? Come on, somebody? Yeah, okay, that's great. That's awesome, it's incredible. But have you ever given one of the kids a gift that was a little bit more expensive than the other kid? You're like, oh my gosh. Jealousy comes into the room. I think back to a Christmas when me and my two older brothers grew up. And I got jealous of their gifts. They were a little bit older than me, so they both got these shotguns for Christmas. Amazing. My parents gave them both shotguns. We were bird hunters and all that kind of stuff. And I grew up on a farm and they got shotguns and I was 6 years younger than my middle brother, you know, so I was the baby of the family. And I go over to the corner and I open up my little gift and I'd watch them unwrap their amazing gifts and stuff and all. And as I unwrap my little gift under the tree, it was a little package of Fruit of the Loom underwear. And I was jealous of their gift. I was kind of mad about it. I was upset with my parents. I wonder how many in this room today has been upset with God because they feel like they've got Fruit of the Looms. And their brothers have gotten shotguns for Christmas. Well, my dad said, hey, why don't you go into the front porch and see if your cousin's porch light is on across the pasture. And because we would always, it was dark when we got up on Christmas morning, see what they have. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I want to do, Dad. I want to go on the porch and see if my cousin's light's on, see what they got for Christmas too, so I can show them my Fruit of the Looms, you know. I go into the front porch and I'm busy looking across the pasture to see if the light's on so I can show him my Fruit of the Looms. And all of a sudden, I back up and I fall over this Yamaha motorcycle, this Yamaha 80 dirt bike. And it was mine for Christmas. But see, I was so mad for like 15 minutes in the living room because I got Fruit of the Looms. Come on, somebody. My brothers got shotguns. I had a motorcycle on the front porch. And you know, all I had to do is step out there where my daddy said to step out there in order to experience this amazing motorcycle. Here's the point of the story, is today in the local church and in God's family, some of us are worried about what our brothers and our sisters have been blessed by God with. Come on, somebody. We got some Fruit of the Looms, and God's saying, why don't you step out on the front porch and celebrate with others and what they got. You know, if we become a community, if we become a family that learn to celebrate with each other what each other have, can you imagine what would happen to people on the outside? They would want to step in. They would want to become a part of that family. They would want to celebrate with us. See, the local church needs to learn to celebrate each other, lift each other up in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody, so that others are drawn to our Heavenly Father. He's a good, good God. And Elizabeth wasn't jealous of Mary's blessing. She had been blessed to birth baby Jesus. She could have cried. She could have complained. She could have hollered. She could have said, man, I'm not as good as Mary. All of these things. But she chose to believe that God could take an impossible situation and turn it into a solution for the world. She was willing to celebrate Mary and take the gift that God gave her, who would eventually announce the forerunner, Jesus, is on the scene. We gotta believe God. We gotta celebrate with others. And the last thing, if we're gonna be used by God in a powerful way, I wrote it this down this way, we have to learn to share what we have. We have to learn to share what we have. Look what the Bible says. Luke chapter 1, verse 56. The Bible continues this story. And it says here, as Mary came, as she learned that she was pregnant, she came and she stayed with Elizabeth, who was at least 6 months pregnant, okay? So Mary has just gotten pregnant. She comes and she stays with Elizabeth about 3 months, and then she went back to her home. Think about that for just a minute. How in the world could Mary do such a thing? Elizabeth is older, past the childbearing years. Mary's a young teenager. She's only been pregnant for like a month. And here Elizabeth is in her last trimester, old, varicose veins, all the good stuff. And Mary's gonna camp out at her house for 3 months. See, the thing is Elizabeth in her last trimester, old, she was still willing to share and show hospitality to Mary and let Mary stay at her house for 3 months. Now again, I had never been pregnant, but I've seen a lot of ladies in their last trimester. That's probably not the time that they are wanting to share a whole lot. They're wanting everybody to serve them. And here we got Elizabeth saying, God can do the impossible. God can use me. I can share what I've got in my last trimester with Mary. I can open up my home and show hospitality for 3 months to this young teenage girl. I'm willing to share whether I got plenty, whether I've got little, because I know that God has blessed me with what I got. And because God has blessed me with what I got, I'm gonna let him do the impossible in me and through me. And I'm going to share it with the world around me. Come on, church, let's open up and let God do the impossible. See, yesterday was a beautiful thing, wasn't it? We did Giving Hope Mall here. All them chairs you sitting in, they had disappeared. There were tables and gifts. I think they said almost 2,000 gifts. So like, every kid or every parent that came through here to shop for their kids could get 3 gifts each. And most all of them had disappeared because we were able, because this is a sharing bunch of people, we were able to share with the community at large in a powerful way and let those parents come through and shop for those kids. And, you know, people were in here wrapping gifts, doing all kinds of things, pushing carts through, and they were doing tasks. But can I tell you what every single one of them were doing? They were sharing the love of Jesus with people in a powerful way, using what they had. Other people gave the gifts. Some people gave the gifts. Some people gave hundreds of gifts, all that kind of stuff. But it was coming together and sharing what we had in order to share the love of Jesus, to give this thing called Giving Hope Mall and make it the biggest year yet. It was incredible. It was phenomenal. And the heart behind that is we want to be a church that shares. Not just at Christmas time to put Christmas presents under a tree, but we want to be a church that shares the love of Jesus all the time, you know, and just open it up and say, you know what, God, use us. I'm not saying be bad stewards and all that kind of stuff, but what I'm saying is, you know, let's live life with such a way that God can keep filling us up as we're pouring it out and sharing with what we have around others. You know, again, Jesus is the most selfless person ever. He was God in the flesh. He left all his glory, all his splendor. He left heaven to come to earth, my friend. And the Bible says he took on the form of a servant so you and I could have life. That's sharing. That's love at the greatest magnitude. And can I tell you, he set the example. He opened the door. He saves people from their sin so that we can follow in his footsteps and begin to see God do the amazing things through us and impossible things through us. But we have to have the heart of Elizabeth. We have to have the heart of Jesus. We have to have the heart of God. And what God's inviting you into is not to just, you know, be a part of a church to hang out, but to be a part of a church so we can be his ambassadors And we can begin to expose and be as conduits. We're reconciled to be reconcilers. And how we reconcile the world back to God, won't that be a beautiful day when the whole world is reconciled back to God? Come on. And how we do that is each one of us keep each other encouraged, and we step in and we use what we have and we believe God for greater things. The past doesn't stop us. You know what? The future is greater than what we've experienced in the past. Let's step into it and let's let the transforming love of God transform our own lives, and let's change the world. Let me pray for you today. God, you're an amazing, amazing God. And I pray for every man, every woman, every boy, every girl here, that God, your spirit would touch them in a special way. And God, no matter where they've been in their past, today could be the day of salvation. Today could be the day that they trust Jesus. He comes in and saves them and he calls them. God, would you speak to their heart and let them know that you call them in to being reconcilers. You call them in to doing great things alongside of the local church, your bride. And God, I pray that they would submit to your authority and begin to see you in their life. God, it's not about how little we have or how much we have, but God, it's about are we willing to submit ourselves and use our gifts in a powerful, powerful way for your kingdom's sake, to watch your kingdom grow. God, I pray you be glorified in and through each and every one of us. And there is a person in this room today who has never stepped into a relationship with you. May they understand that's why Jesus came. He came to forgive us of all of our sin. He came to save us from our sin so that we could be transformed into these new people and become a great people for your name's sake. And God, I pray they would trust Christ. They would trust him for forgiveness. They would trust him for life. And God, I thank you that Jesus came, he died, he rose from the grave so that we could be salvaged. And if there's a person that needs to put their faith in that message today, I pray today would be the day of their salvation. And Jesus, I thank you for this opportunity to share who you are during this season. And God, I pray that we would be the kind of church that keeps stepping forward and celebrating who you are over and over again. Jesus, in your holy and precious name we pray, amen.